Three things every church needs. One, an exalted concept of God. Two, an appetite for God. And then now for this hour, every church needs an enthusiastic worship dedicated to God. An enthusiastic worship. Now remember, we're looking at the book of Nehemiah. And of course, the key verse in Nehemiah is chapter 4, verse 6. We built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. And we're suggesting that if we could develop the same mindset as these people, a mind to work, then we could accomplish so much more for the glory of our Heavenly Father. And so as we're looking at these early chapters, at least half of the book, book of Nehemiah, we're looking at things inside the mindset of these people. And we see those too. An exalted concept of God and an appetite for God, in particular for God's Word. But now let's think about this idea of every church needs an enthusiastic worship dedicated to God. And we see this as we come to Nehemiah chapters 11 to 13. We're going to spend most of our time in Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. The concept of worshiping God actually begins to be hinted toward all the way back in chapter 9. So if you'll hold your place in chapter 12, revert back with me to chapter 9, verse 5. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Exalted. Exalted concept of God. An exalted concept of God, ladies and gentlemen, genders an enthusiastic worship of God. And so we have here these people with this exalted concept of God, and they're praising Him saying, your name needs to be exalted above all blessing and all praise. Come down to verse 17 of chapter 9. Talking about it, forefathers, they refused to obey. They were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. They hardened their necks in their rebellion. They appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness. Take that all the way back to chapter 1. A God who keeps His covenant and is merciful. They're praising God for being the kind of God that He is. When I come to church on Sunday morning, I need to remember I've been forgiven. I need to remember I'm there to worship a God whose heart of grace has touched my heart of guilt. I need to remember I've been cleansed of my filth by the blood of the man most innocent, Jesus Christ. And what God has done for me gets me ready to give something to Him. Worship. Amen? Can you say it twice? I heard one. That was... So come with me to chapter 12. And I want us to see what's happening in chapter 12. We'll begin with about verse 27. Now when we come to Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27, in the background, Nehemiah has made his request to King Artaxerxes. It's been granted. He's made his way to Jerusalem. They have rebuilt the wall. They have replaced the burned out gates. They have reclaimed the spiritual ardor of the people. And so things are now the way they need to be. And life is settling in. Now, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, now they're going to dedicate the wall. They have rebuilt. And as you read chapter 12, the whole chapter is a celebration. A celebration of what they did with God and for God's people. It's a celebration. Could I ask a question before we go any further? Is your worship service a celebration? As I read Nehemiah chapter 12, there are about four words that I want to put before your attention that I think can help create a worship service that is enthusiastic, expressive, heartfelt, biblical. A celebration. Word number one. As I read what they did, they had an enthusiastic worship dedicated to God because of an invitation. Word number one is invitation. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. Don't go ballistic. Don't think we're going to go where we don't need to go. You saw the words cymbals and stringed instruments and harps, didn't you? I know you did. But did you see the word gladness? Did you see the word thanksgivings? You see, this chapter, verses 27 and following, can be capsuled into, and these are not our words, but they can be capsuled into gladness and gratitude. Now, that's what your worship is all about. You are glad. You can be there to express your gratitude to God in worship. That's worship. It's not something we drudge through. I've been parts of worship services. There was more life at a funeral. You know I'm telling you the truth. There's more life at a funeral. We get up and we sing the songs that we sing, and the man leading us does his very best, and we're doing our very best, but it is, please pass the Valium. I need something to generate some excitement in my heart. The preacher gets up and he reads. He's not excited about his passage. He gets through the moment because he didn't spend enough time with the passage. He don't know what he's saying. He don't have a clue as to what he's wanting to say. When he got through, you don't know what he said. But by the way, you went for an hour, and yes, you attended worship, and you can punch your clock, your stub, because you did what you were supposed to do. You go home with that, and you can think that lie as long as you wish, but it won't get you to heaven, folks. We are not there to go to church. We are there to worship God.
Amen.
As the church. And so I need to give attention to those words, gladness and thanksgiving. But for this moment, the key word is the word invitation. They went out into the highways and byways around Jerusalem, and they invited the Levites in all of their places. Verse 28 says, "And the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem, from the villages," verse 28 says, "from the house of Gilgal and from the fields of Geba and Asmaveth, for the singers had built themselves villages all around Jerusalem." And so here are all these villages and here are all these places where the individuals were residing, and they've received an invitation. Come for a celebration. For worship service to be a time a celebration, we need to keep in mind we have all received a very special invitation. It's something that we do every first day of the week because we have been invited to do it. It is not an obligation. It is an invitation to worship God. We put out our marquee signs. We put on our marquee signs, our times of meeting. Sometimes we'll put flyers on the front doors of people and we will give them an invitation to a special series of lessons or a special Lord's Day. We'll have Family Day and we'll ask all of our members, be sure to invite your family to come be with us. Family and Friends Day. Reach out and find a friend that's not a Christian. Invite them to come and so forth. You've been invited.
That's right.
You've been invited by God Almighty to come and celebrate His Son, Jesus Christ. When I get ready to go to church on Sunday morning, I need to remember I'm going to answer an invitation that God has given me to come and express my feelings to Him. An invitation. Let's begin to develop that concept toward worship. I'm invited by God to come together with God's people and express my heart. Word number two, preparation. There was a preparation for the celebration. Verse 30. Then the priest and Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the wall. And if you were to compare that to Ezra chapter 6, verse 20, you would see that the purification was a ceremonial process of purifying themselves in a preparatory fashion. So there is a preparation for the celebration. When it comes to worshiping God today, it takes preparation. I can't speak for you. I can speak for me. And I'm going to tell you that of everything God wants from me as a Christian, I find worship to be one of the most challenging. And it's not because I don't want to. But I find it so easy for my mind to begin to go here or go there. Now raise your hand if you're like me. Okay. I thought that was the case. You find yourself reading the song, the words on... I love the words up on the screen. They've helped me maintain my concentration. But have you found yourself, it happened to me last night. We were reading, singing those wonderful songs that Brother Webster was leading us in. And I was there. Man, I was there. And I was worshiping Jesus. And we used a phrase. And that phrase reminded me. And here I go. Here I go. And there I go. And over there I go. And come back over here I go. And where am I going? And I get right back at... Now, raise your hand if you didn't do that. At least, no, don't do that. I listen to preaching, and sometimes the preacher says something, and hey, and he generates thoughts. And I'm here and there, and I'm still with you, and I'm listening with one ear, and I'm studying with the other, so to speak. Or the preacher preaches, and in the first 20 seconds, he said nothing to tell me that he needs my attention, and I disengage right there. You just lost me. And so I'm just going to study on my own. Or someone might say, "You going to talk about what?" Okay. Now, where are we going to eat lunch? And after lunch, now, Do we have any plans this afternoon? I want to take a nap. We're going to take the kids anywhere. Do they have ball practice? And where is he studying now? What verse of the Bible? Well, he was here and now he's over there. But over here, he's not. And we're totally disconnected. Worship needs preparation. So here are some suggestions. On Sunday morning, get up. And if you don't do it on a regular basis through the week, at least on that Sunday morning, turn to the book of Psalms. And by yourself, spend some time in the Psalms. It amazes me how many of the Psalms praise God. Get your heart ready to praise. On the way to worship, as a family, sing church songs. Sing vacation Bible school songs. Ask Bible questions to your children. Have Bible drills. Before you leave, join hands perhaps and ask God to be with you as you express your feelings to Him. Pray about your worship as a family. These are just suggestions. But pray about your worship as a family. And change your vernacular, your terminology. Instead of, let's go to church. Y'all ready to go to church? Let's go worship God.
Amen.
And dress for the occasion. Oh. We come to church with blue jeans. Blue jeans that have multiple holes. Brother Dan, I paid extra for that. Yeah, and I don't understand it. We get up with dirty t-shirts and wait on the Lord's Supper table and remember the climactic event of all human history. We can't even show them respect. You go back to Exodus chapter 19. In Exodus chapter 19, they had to bathe the night before they went to Mount Sinai. For 3 days, they couldn't have conjugal relationships with their husbands and their wives. They were going to go see God. And watch what it says about their clothing even. I'm not saying that we have to dress in tuxedos. And I'm not going to get up here and debate over whether we can preach without coats and ties. How ridiculous. Literally. But my heart needs to be prepared. And if giving attention to what I'm going to wear can help prepare my heart better, then I'm going to start giving some attention to what I wear and wear my best. On and on we could go with that, but there needs to be time of preparation. I go over to a light switch, and what happens when I turn it on, when I flip it up? Light comes on. What happens when I turn it down? Light goes off. Boom, there it is. Boom, there it is. There it goes. My heart's not like that. I can't come in here and then, boom, I'm ready to worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew, it's over. Well, I'm now finished with worship. I have to get ready. I have to prepare. Get my heart in the move toward God. And then when it's over, man, I didn't want that to be over. Why? I was prepared for it and I enjoyed it because I was getting God enjoyment with it. I didn't want that to be over. And it goes with me. I didn't just flip the switch and turn it on and flip the switch and turn it off and leave it. Preparation. Number three. There's the word organization. In verse 31, getting ready for the celebration, I read, "So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed 2 large thanksgiving choirs." Don't leave me. 2 thanksgiving choirs. One went to the right hand on the wall toward the refuse gate. Verse 38. The other, thanksgiving choir, went the opposite way. And I was behind them with half the people on the wall. So these two thanksgiving choirs are created. And then there's this beautiful celebratory procession. One choir is going this way, and the other choir is going this way, and there is a visual understanding something special is about to happen here. And these are choirs in that they were set apart from others, but they were thanksgiving choirs. I don't read about choirs in the New Testament, do you? Do you read about thanksgiving when it comes to worship?
Yes.
Of interest to me, every verse in the Bible that references music of the church on earth is a verse that uses the word sing, sang, sung, fruit of the lips. And so we preach and have preached forever in defense of vocal music, singing. And we should. But you go back to every one of those verses, and in the passage itself, or the surrounding passage, or if you look at it, and it takes you back to one of the Psalms that's being sung, almost every single one of them is about one thing: giving thanks to God for redemption. We sing, we don't play, but what are you singing? We're going to do it right, but you're not doing it right. Okay, we don't use the instrument. So what? We're doing it with the voice, but we're not doing it because we're not thanking God for redemption. We're singing because we're supposed to sing and not play. Now, we're to sing and not play. Don't misunderstand me. Please don't misunderstand me. But we're to sing with thanksgiving for redemption. And these people were in this beautiful procession. They were created to engage in this procession so they could engage in thanksgiving. There's an organization to the process of getting ready to thank and worship God. We need to be giving attention to our worship services. Some of you know that I retired in May from local work and started in January back into local work. Don't have a dime's worth of sense. Actually, I was asked by a congregation in Nashville, 2 hours away, to join their staff kind of part-time. So I'm a full-time fill-in preacher for when their local preacher leaves to preach in meetings and such like. And it's a wonderful opportunity. This congregation does things differently. They have only worship service on Sunday morning. That's it. And it's protracted. People come to worship and they know we're here not for 45 minutes or an hour. It's going to be an hour, 15, hour and 30 minutes, sometimes almost 2 hours. They know that. And they come. Sunday night is Bible school only for all ages. And at a particular time, the bell rings, we gather into the auditorium, and we have a brief devotion where we sing songs and have a prayer and then go home. Now, that morning worship service, I reference that because so much attention is given to that hour and a half of worship. There's one man, his name is Larry Arnold. Wonderful man, I've known Larry a long time. And Larry orchestrates the worship service around a particular theme. I can't tell you how many songs we sing around the, and they're old songs and new songs. Songs that we've learned on Wednesday nights as a church. And there's no set order. When I come to church on Sunday morning and I'm going to preach, he hands me a little sheet of paper like this. And highlighted in yellow is where I'm supposed to step up to the worship service and do what I'm supposed to do and preach. But we get one of those every time, every Lord's Day. And it differs. It changes all through. And so much attention is given to the song that's sung and what song follows this song. And he don't say, now turn to number. It's on the screen. And we just shift from one to another to another. We start off singing or quoting a psalm together up on the screen. And then we sing a song about that psalm. Then we have a prayer. And then there's no telling where we're going to go as we sing songs and as we read a Bible verse and as we preach and study the Bible and get into the worship service of the Lord's Supper. And before we get to the Lord's Supper, there are two or three songs preparing our hearts for that. And I'm illustrating the fact there is detailed organization given to the worship service. Announcements, opening prayer, three songs, a prayer, a sermon, the Lord's Supper, the contribution. Does that resonate? Does that sound familiar? And we wonder why people are bored out of their minds, though they shouldn't be. You say, Brother Dan, it ought not matter. What's the organization? We're there to worship God. You're right. But do they act that way at a ball game? Is that what they see when they're watching television? Well, look at the commercials. The commercials are more exciting than some of our worship services. And the reason, we're supposed to worship on the Lord's Day. We do it at 9 o'clock. Come at 9 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock. We're finished. We done it. And that's about all the attention that is given to the organization of God's people worshiping God. Why are we there? We're there to express our feelings to the one we have an exalted concept of, supposedly. An invitation from God to be there. A preparation on our part for what we're going to do when we get there. Attention given to the organization of what we do while we're there. All of this, this is what they did on this occasion of celebration, worshiping God. And I'm suggesting we need to do the same. We come down to verse 42, and the last word is expression. There was an expression of their feelings to God. Also that day they offered great sacrifices, read it, and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Rejoiced, rejoiced, joy, rejoiced, joy. Five times. One verse. There's an expression of their feelings in this celebration. We're people of the pendulum. And there was a time when we stood up and we stood against the charismatic movement that was afoot in Christendom. And we should have. In so doing, we had a hard time with the emotionalism concept of worship. And the idea of just getting all worked up in worship with emotionalism. And I fear that we backed away from that cliff so far, we fell off the other side. We've been so logical, so intellectual, we have ceased to be as emotional as we should be. Now, if you're my age or a tad younger, you really, really, really need to hear what I have to say. If you want the church of our Lord to go places 15 years from now, you better get to work making worship a time to celebrate our feelings for God. Because the generation coming up, that's what it's all about. They're very theocentric and should be, as should we all be. When they come to worship, they want to express their feelings to God. Hallelujah! And so we need to get back to this idea of worship is a time of expressing joy. A time of expressing thanksgiving. It's a time we enjoy, not a time we endure. Right? Now turn with me to two passages. I want to just read one basically, and then we'll go to another one and fill it out to see if there's some things we might keep in mind that can help us develop an atmosphere of gladness and gratitude when it comes to celebrating our relationship with God. But I want you, first of all, to read with me Psalms 100. In the mornings, I read from the Psalms. And though I study and preach from the New King James Version, I do my personal studies out of the English Standard Version. And I've come to truly like that translation. I just read Psalms 100 this week. See if it expresses the concepts of gladness and gratitude. Make a joyful, what?
Noise.
Joyful noise. The New King James Version more accurately says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. All your lands. Well, I'm glad he said noise because I can't sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. He said shout. He's not talking about what you sound like. He's talking about what you put into it. Make a joyful shout to God. I'm going to be heard. It may not be much to hear, but I'm going to be heard. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all your lands. Serve the Lord with what?
Gladness.
Joy. Glad. Come before His presence with singing. So I'm to sing and be glad. I'm to sing and be joyful. I'm to sing and shout when I sing. I stand in front of the people on the invitation song, and I'm telling you, for one, I see singing. I see 5 to 7 that are standing there like a tree or a rotten fence post. Shouldn't have said it, but I did. No! Maybe this is why we don't shout with joy and gladness. No! That the Lord, He is God. Hold up. An exalted concept of God genders enthusiastic worship given to God. You see how it works? That's what happened in Nehemiah's day. That's what's happening right here. We got to get back to who God is, folks. Know the Lord, He's God. It is He who has made us, created us, and not we ourselves. Don't forget that last phrase. In our humanistic society, it's all about me. I didn't get much out of that. Well, guess what? You weren't supposed to. It wasn't designed for you. It was designed for God. And if you didn't get much out of it, you didn't put much into it for the purpose it was designed. We haven't made ourselves. We're His people. and the sheep of His pasture. Put yourself where you belong and put God where He belongs. Enter into His gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
And into His courts with what?
Praise.
The New Testament word translated praise carries the implication or the word picture of a standing ovation. Give God a standing ovation. That's not saying that we need to be clapping in worship, because Hebrews tells us the kind of standing ovation He wants. Offer Him the sacrifice of praise, standing ovation. That is the fruit of the lips, singing. So I'm to sing, and in my singing I give God a standing ovation. Wow. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be what? Thankful. There it is again to Him. And bless His name. Go home and do a word study of the words shout, sing, praise, bless. And we do it all, for the Lord is good. The Lord is God, verse 3. The Lord is good, verse 5. His mercy is everlasting. The Lord is the Lord of grace, verse 5. And His truth endures for all generations. So here is the God that we worship. And here's how we worship. With all of our hearts. Hearts full of gladness and gratitude. That Psalm is 100. And that's a psalm that says what I find the peers of Nehemiah doing. So turn with me, last of all, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll briefly see two or three things that might help us create an atmosphere of celebration, an atmosphere of joy and thanksgiving when it comes to worship. First of all, I need to know that I am special to God when it comes to worship. I want you to begin with me at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Verse 3 talks about the Lord being gracious, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Jesus is precious to God. But look at how verse 5 begins. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. Jesus is precious to God. You also are precious to God. And the first thing I need to do to create a celebratory atmosphere at worship is to know I'm special to God. I mean something to God. And He is supposed to mean something to me. We have a connection. We have a thing going. There's a relationship here that I am going to major on when it comes to expressing my heart. I'm special to God. The second thing to do is to remember worship is a spiritual exercise. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Worship is a spiritual exercise. And so when I shout, I'm to shout from my heart, not with my lungs. It is a spiritual exercise. Jesus said, "These people honoreth me with their lips, but what? The heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrine the precepts of men." If the heart is not involved, it's vain, it's empty, it gets nowhere. It's not acceptable. This is a spiritual exercise that my heart, my soul is involved in. And then worship is sacrificial. I don't like singing those songs, those youth songs. Well, so what? Sacrifice your feelings for somebody else's feelings so that you can combine your feelings and express your corporate feelings to God. You going to preach on baptism again? I'm tired of that subject. Well, so what? Sacrifice your feelings for somebody else's needs that's there that needs to hear about baptism. This is a sacrifice. You have been placed on the altar and you are burned at the stake when it comes to your preferences. When it comes to your opinions. You are there for one reason. You're going to express your feelings to God. And you can do so with these songs, you can do so with these songs, you can do so with this subject, you can do so with this preaching, you can do so via this man leading in prayer. That man prays, it don't have to be eternal to be immortal, and he prays longer than the man preaches. Thank the Lord for the fact you got a man that's helping you talk to God. I had to come to that conclusion. It's easier for me to say now that I don't preach regularly. Yes, I've timed them before. You have too. So we are to offer Him the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of the lips. Hebrews 13, verse 15. So worship is an expression. I like to define worship as the sacrifice of my feelings to God. I close on this thought. Jesus said, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The previous verse talks about those who are true worshipers. Proskuneo. Pros, toward. Kuneo, kiss. When I go to church on Sunday, I'm not going to church. When I go to worship on Sunday, I'm answering the invitation that God Himself has given to me. And I go as someone that's very special to God. And I'm there to sacrifice my feelings to Him and let Him know He's special to me. I'm there to celebrate my redemption via His grace. I'm there to proskuneo. Blow a kiss to God Almighty. That's what every church does.